Hey, pro nerds, welcome back to another episode of The Last Word, the podcast where I get to make all the rules and do whatever I want. So we're here for our eighth episode. I think now Q's hosted four, I've hosted four, and I feel like these are the best questions we have because I'm clearly the better host of the two. But before I talk too much about myself, I do want to introduce our guests and contestants this week because we have some awesome people joining us. So let me grab them here in order they are down here below the stream. So welcome aboard, Project Nerd interviewer Leah. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great too. We have from Vox Pop Games, Mark.
Hello.
How's it going? And then also from Vox Pop Games, Charles.
It's an honor to be here.
Yeah. And then Mr. Carey even labels himself Mr. Carey, also joining us. You made it in the last second there, man. I was pretty impressed there. I didn't know if you were going to make it.
Nice.
Awesome. So you all know the rules. Everybody knows what's going on here. For those of you that are just joining us and have never seen a last episode of The Last Word, what I have prepared is two questions per round. And each round, we're going to eliminate somebody based on the points that I give them till we have the final two going in the last round. And then the winner gets the last word to talk about whatever they want. They can plug their brand. We mentioned Vox Pop Games. They can plug their cat. Leah's mentioned her cat before we start recording. I don't know. I don't care. Whatever they want to talk about, because it's their time to shine if they earn it. But before we get that far, we got to get started. So are you all ready for round one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Judging by the posters, one of us is more ready than the rest of us.
Yeah. All right, let's do it.
Carrie's a ringer. Carrie's a ringer.
There we go. All right, so the newest trailer for a Marvel comic turned movie is here, and it's Venom, Let There Be Carnage. You can see the trailer and a trailer reaction video over on the Project Nerd YouTube channel. The trailer looks like it's trying to go very heavy on the comedy, as well as obviously the action. But I'm not so sure it's a promising story, especially after the first one. So being that the first one was kind of lukewarm received, I guess would be a way to put it. And the second one, we might have some worries. I want to know what y'all are going to do to save this Venom franchise before it's even declared dead. I'm calling it dead. You're saving it. You know what, Leah? I'm going to let you start this one. Ladies first. So what are you doing to make this Venom movie franchise a hit in the future?
I'm bringing in Tom Holland, yo. He's going to come in, swoop in, and save this thing. Mostly, I just want to see him, like, tormented fighting Venom. I think villains are probably the most important characters. And so far, all the Spider-Man villains have been so lame. Like, I need to see Spider-Man versus Venom. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Mark, what are you doing to get this franchise on the right path?
I'm a little bit tired of the sort of clone battles that he's had. He's had two back-to-back, like he fought the anti-Venom in the first one, and then now it's the symbiote Carnage. I think it's too many symbiote stories. I think we need to see a new, fresh take. I agree partially with the Tom Holland stuff, bringing in a Spider-Man, but I was going to go bring in either Andrew Garfield or Tobey Maguire so that they can, they're already going to cross over the universes anyway, so you might as well bring in either of them. I would rather see Andrew Garfield try and fight Tom Hardy personally, but that's what I would try and do, switch it up and maybe have a different director, Sam Raimi, redo portions of it or write a piece of it to make it like a horror, dark Spider-Man.
All right, I like the idea of pulling Raimi in. That's a good one. Charles, let's make this Venom franchise better.
Look, I'll be the first guy to admit I don't know that much about Spider-Man. But when you hear a name like Carnage, do you think, wow, I bet that guy's a deep character. I want to learn what motivates him. No, okay? People want 90s edge, all right? I, as the writer, would make that movie dumber. I would make that movie more violent, okay? The villain is going to be some Rob Liefeld monstrosity named like all Overkill or Defax Blood Gun or something, right? I would make that movie embrace all of the edgelord nonsense that we all secretly crave, but society tells us not to because society wants us to want movies that comment on society.
Okay, that's a solid answer there. Mr. Carey, you're going to round us out here on this first question?
Yeah, I'm going to give everybody a number. 856 million. That was the box office worldwide, okay? The franchise is not dead. But I do think, that, and I agree with some of the counterparts, My big thing is I would also change the lead actor and the director. I would go with Guillermo del Toro as a director in that Pacific Rim kind of Hellboy style. But I'm going to throw everybody off. I think Bill Skarsgård needs to be Venom. In this character, I think he's done it with Pennywise. We saw an interesting, brooding, kind of dark darkness to him. So I would cast Bill Skarsgård as the lead actor, and I would have Guillermo del Toro do what he does, either in a Hellboy style or Pacific Rim style, where we get back to where there's no dialogue. And more importantly, let's retire. Please, let's retire Tom Hardy. I'm so sick of this guy. I cannot stand him. I am so sick of Tom Hardy. The only thing I will say is if they let him do what he did in Bronson and brought that to Venom, we would have seen a whole different side of it, and it could have been awesome. But if we're not going to let Tom Hardy be Tom Hardy, let's get him out of the equation. Let's bring in Bill Skarsgård with the Guillermo del Toro and really make this franchise awesome.
Awesome. Phenomenal answers all the way around. Sony, we're recording this, so if you steal one, these guys got, they know where to go back and prove that they came up with the ideas first. All right, handing out points. Leah, you get 2 solid points. You were worried about not knowing it there. I'm going to give Mark 3 points, 2 points for the answer, and then a bonus point for the Sam Raimi call out there. Charles, the enthusiasm and the direction of the franchise, you're getting 3 points as well. Carrie, I was going to give you 3 points, and then you contradicted yourself, man. You said this franchise is not did its $800 million, and then you gutted it. Like, you just gutted it. So 2 points for you as well, but that's all right. We're all very close, only 1 point separating first from last year as we do question number 2 in round 1. So this one's going to stay. We're going to stay in the movie realm here for the first round, but this one's going to call for some creativity as well. I don't know if y'all read this week, but apparently Warner almost considered giving the Godzilla franchise to Quentin Tarantino. Now, I love Tarantino, but that's an interesting move there. And obviously Warner didn't go through with it, but it got me thinking. Tarantino running Godzilla, if he's in charge of a monster film franchise, who should Warner get to run King Kong in this universe? So Tarantino's done the Godzilla movies. We need a Kong movie before they battle again. Let's start. Let's go, Carrie, since you went last this time, I'll have you go first. Who are you putting in charge of the Kong franchise in this Tarantino Godzilla universe?
I'm so happy you went with me. I figured everybody would probably have the same answer, but the immediate thought, right, is Robert Rodriguez. Let's do Grindhouse, man. Let's make this dirty. Let's make it what it was really meant to be. These are cult films. These are fan films. There's not really a need to get an emotional connection to a creature that doesn't exist. Let's stop trying to do it. Let's have him go up top. Let's Robert Rodriguez do what he did in Grindhouse with that Death Proof. Let's let him pair up well with Tarantino. And who doesn't want Danny Trejo riding like King Kong and doing that whole shirt where you got the T-Rex and Jesus. Now we got King Kong and Danny Trejo running the series with Robert Rodriguez. So I think that would be my immediate choice for that change and hopefully pairs well with Tarantino.
Okay. I like your pick, Charles. Who are you putting at the helm for this King Kong franchise?
That's the posters, man. So I'm not going to pretend that I know as much about directors as Mr. Carey over there. As little as I know about Spider-Man, I know even less about Hollywood. But the only thing I really knew about Tarantino coming in was the foot fetish thing. And I'm thinking, if you want to go that route, you should double down on it. If they want to find a partner for Tarantino, what they need is to find an artist that specializes in doing furry macro art on commission. Now, unfortunately, I don't really have a specific artist in mind at this time, but I can tell you back in my DeviantArt days, I did notice a distressingly large amount of macro art of Fox and Falco. So whoever did that stuff, you should get them on the line.
All right. Solid answer. Mark, how are you doing this?
It's going to be strangely supremely snobbish, but Wes Anderson King Kong styled. I would picture it as a character piece where you have a bunch of so the new Kong feels like the big original King Kong, you know, the Lord of the Rings style Kong. I want to see like a human story that just so happens to have like a giant monkey in the background. That's what I feel.
Okay. I'm trying to picture the trailer right now of what this looks like for Wes Anderson Kong here.
You're going to see a lot of pans across like, right. Cityscapes. Very, very. And there's like a giant monkey in the background.
And Bill Murray will be in it. Leah, what do you got for us? Who's directing?
I'm going to go James Wan. I don't know if you guys are familiar. He did Aquaman. He did the Saw series. I think he's got a lot of – his movies are really gore. I want to go back to, like, the old school King Kong. People wash up on an island and then just slowly start, like, getting people picked off one by one, pieces ripped off. I want it to be super gory. But I think he's proven he can handle something huge blockbuster like Aquaman on that scale. So okay. He'd be my top pick.
Good goodness. Y'all are killing it with the answers here. I don't know what to do here. So I'm handing out points left and right here. I love the answers. Charles, you are definitely ahead now with 5 points. You just want to tear down Hollywood and take it back to the 90s. I'm loving it. You're definitely on to the next round. We do have a tie for second place. Mark and Carrie with 4 points. Leah, I loved your answers, but I only have 3 points for you written down. I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
I didn't want to eliminate you first round, but you bring that confidence. Bring more confidence back next time, and we'll get you on to the second round. So thanks for joining us. I'm going to pull you out for a little bit. Feel free to hang around. We'll bring you back before it's over.
You got
to heckle us, Leah. Heckle us.
There you go, right? Yeah, so I'm going to leave you on screen for round two so you can heckle us.
Oh, goodness.
But here we go. Round two. Points still stand, so you're bringing your first round points into the round two, which is great news for Charles, who's ahead again by 1 point with 5. We have Mr. Carey, as I'm going to keep calling him since we has right there, and Mark with 4 points right behind him. But we got two more questions, and I'm going to ask, we're going to go a little music this time. And mainly, I had one question left to fill, and I didn't know where I was going to go. And then this morning, while, you know, doing my normal phone reading while sitting on the toilet, I saw that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame announced their actual inductees, and it's Foo Fighters, Tina Turner, Go-Go's, Jay-Z. I apologize. I had there was two other names that I guess I somehow deleted off my form here. But the problem is they had a huge list of nominees this year, and a huge list of nominees I thought were definitely qualified to make it this time. So, Mark, why don't you tell me the nominee that should have been in there and make a case for them, of course, artist, solo artist, or group. Of course, needs to be somebody that was on the actual nominee list, but who's missing from these from the inductees? Who should be there this summer with the rest of these guys?
I'm a huge music nerd, but I listen to terrible music all the time. I would like to state, I don't know if this is a fact, and if it is, it's horrible. There's a bunch of people that were nominated. There's people that have been on the list for years, for like 27 years, 23 years. The longest one that I found that I thought was a travesty, I don't know if it's true, might be John Coltrane. And I think that if that is something that is not remedied soon, I know they're going to try and get Tina in. Rage deserves to be in. Television, I feel, should be in. They haven't made it into the inductees list. It's crazy that Dave Grohl's nominated twice for Nirvana and Foo Fighters. He'd probably be nominated again for himself as well, just his solo stuff or stuff with different bands that he's been in. But I think my number one is John Coltrane. He should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame regardless. The impact that he's had in music is renowned.
I fact checked you and you are right. He is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So some great job there.
That's insane.
I'm going to agree with you. That's a great answer too. Carrie, I'm going to bounce around over to you. What do you got for us in terms of who should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame off of this list?
Well, I mean, first of all, I don't know how to answer this question when you forget about Carole King. Carole King, come on, man. Like of all the people to forget, I knew you would get Foo Fighter. But I take a point away from you for not mentioning Carole King being inducted.
I don't know what you're talking about. She's on the list right now. I didn't just add it. So
yeah, no. Exactly.
You got me. You get a point for calling me on that. Okay, go ahead.
No, my thing, and I want to. I appreciate certainly what Mark said, but I stuck to kind of the list that we were told to look at. So I went with Chaka Khan. To me, how can you not argue for this woman who's been doing this before we were born, making Grammy records over and over, sponsored, of course, by Stevie Wonder. I mean, you got smash hit after smash hit, but Tell Me Something Good. Oh, my God. Like, that is one of the greatest songs ever written, ever produced. But just going down, Chaka Khan has 22 albums, 10 Billboard number ones, 7 gold singles, 10 gold and platinum albums, and a 10-time Grammy Award winner. What else does she have to do? And ironically so, her last Grammy was with Mary J. Blige on a song called Disrespectful, who also got snubbed. So I feel like Chaka Khan and Mary J. Blige both got the snub, but with someone who's been doing it for 40 years and still can't get in there with her band, either Rufus or her stuff that she's done. I don't know what more she can do, but I certainly salute her and I wish that we would do justice and correct this.
Cool this man down. He came in with the research.
Wow.
Both of you guys killing it here. Charles,
double barrel, bro.
Man, right? I'm every woman is just going right through my head right now. 1978. Let's go, Chaka Khan.
There we go. Charles, you gotta get them with a big answer, Anna. They're gonna catch you.
Okay. Listen, I'm going to be 100% honest. I think I might have misread the question slightly. You know, we got that. But I'm going to go forward with it because I think it does make an important point. Now, believe it or not, from my round one answers, I actually did do a little research coming in here. So I went on Quora and I searched, what are the criteria for being nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Top answer was a guy who said, I'm not sure there are any. Right? He pointed out a lot of things that are flawed about the nomination process. He pointed out that many of the nominees are one-hit wonders who debatably don't have a very big impact on rock as a whole. And many of them aren't even rock artists, right? Many of them are hip-hop or pop artists who may be very important musicians. But it does sort of detract away from the intended purpose of celebrating rock and roll as a genre. So if they want to get their image back on track, what they need to do is they need to nominate a new artist who is has brand recognition, who has stood the test of time, and who is unimpeachably a rock music act. What they need is Nickelback, right? So you want an artist that is culturally relevant? You can't get more culturally relevant than Nickelback. An entire online subculture existed just to bash Nickelback. And guess what? They're still making music. They put out a single this year. 20 years later, they're still going. That's longevity. All right? And hate, love it or hate it, you can't say that Nickelback does not make rock music. And that is why they should be on that list.
There you go. That was a hell of an answer. I do want to point out that Nickelback also, I believe it was a few years ago, when a news site pointed out the fact that Congress's approval rating was lower than Nickelback, they as a band retweeted it. So they've embraced it. So I'm with you, Charles, here. I was giving you 2 points, but I'm going to give you the full 3. And you know what, Mark and Carrie, y'all got 3 too. So it's 8 for Charles, 7 for Mark, 7 for Carrie. So we're down to the wire in this last question. I absolutely loved all 3 of those answers. Fantastic. I do want to point out that from our live stream over on Facebook, I did miss number 2. You had a fan mark for your Wes Anderson answer. Ignore the fact that I'm in the picture with this lady. Hi, Aaron. Love you. Talk to you later. I'll see you downstairs in just a little bit. But glad that she's paying attention. And you got fans for it. So if I should have caught that earlier, I could have given you some bonus points for it.
Oh, but, man, I need some. That's the promo right there.
All right. We are doing the other question for round 2, and I'm going back to movies. I know everybody, this is movies heavy. I promise to mix it up again in future episodes. Let's take a look at the Knives Out 2 is moving forward. Daniel Craig, obviously returning as the detective. But what they're doing, obviously, is investigating a whole new case. So you have a whole new cast, starting with Ed Norton and Dave Bautista, who've been cast. I don't know who else is rumored. So maybe y'all did some research to catch some more names on there, but I need y'all to round out this killer cast for me. Give me a few names, a lot, however many you think it should be. Let's see. Charles, I don't think we've started with you, so I'm going to let you go first on this one. Who are we putting in Knives Out 2?
One thing that's interesting about my father is that he's always been a huge James Bond fan. Fun fact is that after the Cultural Revolution ended, the James Bond movies were some of the first movies that were Western movies that were allowed in China. So in honor of my father, I thought it would be fun if in the next James Bond movie, they brought in all of the James Bond actors that are still alive, like George Lazenby, right? And Pierce Brosnan. And they were all in a cabal together that Daniel Craig was investigating. Daniel Craig's ally in this is sort of Idris Elba. He wants to get into the club full of these like elite people, but they won't let him in because they're old and racist. The whole movie, they set it up as if Sean Connery is the big supervillain. But then, as the investigation moves forward, turns out Sean Connery is actually already dead. And it was actually, maybe George Lazenby, right? The guy you'd least suspect. And then at the very end, when all this crap has gone down and all the former Bonds are arrested for sexual misconduct and war crimes and whatnot, the organization, they put Idris Elba in charge to try and manage their PR. And the whole thing is going to be, just like the first movie was sort of a metaphor for colonialism and immigration politics, this one would be a metaphor for corporate restructuring and sort of PR management with like woke progressivism and the like.
All right. I see you there. Like the whole time I'm seeing you do this, I'm picturing Charlie Day and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia with the board, and he's got it. But you have an insane plan, and I'm digging it. So let's see, Mark, what are you doing? Who are you casting for Knives Out 2?
That answer by Charles was deep and amazing. I think that I'm a little bit more like bring it back to roots. So Rian Johnson, like old people. So I would say Joseph Gordon-Levitt is the secret guy that you go against. Rian worked with him on his Brick movie, the heroin movie. So he would be a cool villain to have secretively. And then bring back Lakeith, bring back the other cop that was in Brick 2, bring back like normalized people and people that they know from the first story, and have some sort of crossover with some of the universe that he's built with all the actors that he's brings in. Most likely Joseph Gordon-Levitt is the bad guy they chase, the big bad.
Okay. We got some research. This is good. You guys are all welcome back, by the way. The research is killing it today. Carrie, let's get your casting.
Yeah, I mean, how do you follow Charles's? I think you need to put up some of the words because I don't know the definition of them. So I think I'd appreciate it more. But Mark, I absolutely agree. I think we're seeing a lot of directors going back to the actors that actually make them really good. And with this, with Knives Out 2, obviously, bringing back Daniel Craig, I felt he needed another accent to play. So I thought the setting needs to be a Wild West murder mystery, right? Like old school, like think Liam Neeson in Million Ways to Die in the West. I want Daniel Craig in like an English accent, Wild Wild West style. Okay. Rian Johnson or Rian Johnson, I think, as Mark was saying, I think he's going to do well with already having Edward Norton. Dave Bautista, I thought, was an interesting cast choice. So to round it out in this murder mystery Wild West fantasy, one of my two favorites that nobody really ever talks about are Mads Mikkelsen and Diane Lane. Those are two of my, like, okay, I'm not, but like Diane Lane, okay, number one, fantasies all over the place, Unfaithful, Alone. I have them as plantation owners. I think it's going to be kind of a Django style where you got Mads Mikkelsen, you got Diane Lane, kind of similar to Knives Out 1, right? I got John David Washington, Michael B. Jordan, Donald Glover kind of filling in as kind of plantation workers. Interesting little twist there with all three of them potentially in that. What I liked, as Mark mentioned, was a callback. So I think Adrian Brody or Adam Driver really need to be in Knives Out 2. I think they take that Chris Evans kind of role, nice little comedic humor. Rounding it out for me was either Oscar Isaacs or Dominic Cooper. I'm a big Priest fan, so Dominic Cooper kind of playing that boots on the ground kind of thing. And lastly, a lady after my own heart, Alexandria Daddario. She's going to be the daughter of the plantation owner and going to break some hearts. So I think with the writing that we're going to have, if you pair all of those in that movie, we're ultimately going to have an amazing Wild West murder mystery Clue style.
Wow. Wow. Carrie, I don't know what to say. I know Mark and Charles are thinking you're a ringer here with your posters behind you, but I'm going to let you know, of anybody that's ever done anything with Project Nerd, Carrie is the least pop culture like one, and you killed it. You did your research today. So first of all, gentlemen, all three of those movies, I'm ready to watch them right now. Y'all went above and beyond. I asked for a cast. You guys wrote entire movies. I'm loving it. But unfortunately, I've got to let one of you go before we head to the last round. So Charles, I want to hear what you're going to, how you're going to answer the next one. Your answers are crazy. Loving it. You're in first place. You're heading into the final round. Carrie and Mark, it was close, but Carrie, you just edged it out with that cast there. So I'm going to move you on. Mark, I appreciate it. Hang around for a little bit. I'll bring you back at the end. But for this round, I am going to drop Leah and Mark from the stream for a little bit. And let's move these cameras around so it's a little more even here. And let's head on in to the last round. All right, gentlemen, the final round where your points start fresh. So you're only getting points for this last question. And before we head on in, I do want to remind you that the last round is brought to you by Geek Grind Coffee. Geek Grind Coffee is 100% hand-harvested coffee for geeks by geeks. The rich Colombian blends will keep you alert and ready no matter the quest. Head on over to geekgrindcoffee.com/projectnerd and use the code PRONERD20 for 20% off your first order. That's geekgrindcoffee.com/projectnerd. PRONERD20 will get you that 20% off your first order. All right, gentlemen, let's do this. The last round and what I think is my best question to date. So I am ready for this because I want to hear the answers for it. I don't know for anybody that's been paying attention. Apparently, Katy Perry and the Pokemon Company are putting out a single at the end of this week. A new single called Electric that was teased with a poster that featured none other than Pikachu. What got me thinking, with that song out and unfortunately no video, because who doesn't want another Katy Perry video in their life? I do. I'm wondering what other artists should cover the other Pokemon types. So a video game question for you here, Charles, at the end, you being the video game man. So maybe you'll have an edge here, but Carrie, I trust your answers with pop culture based on today of what you pulled out. So I need three. I need you to pick three Pokemon type and the artists that are singing that song for it. So Charles, you're in first place, so you get to go first. I want to hear your answer here. Three new performers for our Pokemon, let's call it an album we're putting together.
The thing about the Pokemon Company is this is actually one of several different promotional music tie-ins they've done. They've done it with Bump of Chicken back in Japan, right? Now they're doing with Katy Perry. But the problem with going for conventionally popular artists like this is if you want to do brand extension for a franchise as massive as Pokemon, you can't just go with names that people already know at this point. That's not actually going to help reach new people. If you want to promote the Pokemon brand, what you need is outrage, okay? You need Christian moms to hate Pokemon again, just like they did back in the 90s, all right? Unfortunately, again, I think I misread the question a bit. I only have one artist prepped, but really he's the best artist. Because if you want to get Christian moms angry at Pokemon again, the only man for the job is Lil Nas X. Okay. And here's the thing, right? The prompt said pick a Pokemon type for an artist, but I think that might be a bit of a mistake. The name of the song was Electric, but if you look at the promotional images that have already been released, it's all based on Pikachu. There's a picture of Katy Perry with a Pikachu tail and Katy Perry with Pikachu on her shoulder, right? What you're promoting specific Pokemon. And who's the second most popular Pokemon after Pikachu? It's Eevee. So you bring in Lil Nas X, you do an Eeveelution themed video, every color of the rainbow, all right? Especially Sylveon, who's basically a walking trans pride flag already. And Christian moms will be hating on Pokemon all over again. And it'll be the new subversive thing that people like when they don't actually want to have to act subversive.
All right, great answer. You did come short with only one artist, but I'm going to let you know my daughter's name is Eevee. So you killed it with killed it in the end there. Carrie, I see you shaking your head already. You showed us that you had Lil Nas X on your board.
Yeah.
And you know my daughter's name is Eevee. So you're fighting from behind. You got to bring this up. You got to bring up.
I'm so mad, but at least I had a backup with Tekashi 6ix9ine. You gave my rundown, okay? You said rainbow themed, you did all this stuff. Who is more recognizable and more to your point, who is more hated than Tekashi 6ix9ine? Dude ratted on everybody and he's still making billions in his YouTube stuff. I thought it was a really interesting choice. I think when I first saw the question and kind of read up on it, this really reeked of the Kardashian and the Pepsi commercial. It really kind of seemed like one of those where we can't take it serious, so why not just make it horrible? So on that theme, I'm like, hey, why not have Cardi B and Bruno Mars make a song? You know, we'll make it catchy. We'll put it out there in Summer Jam when everybody's all got their vaccines. And then I put Adele and Sam Smith. Why not make it all duos? Let Adele just tug at your heartstrings. Let's get everybody in corporate America kind of signed up. But yeah, when I read it and started looking at it, it was a very difficult line to go down. But respect to Charles for the Little Nas X. I think that dude is killing it. But he is a byproduct of what Tekashi 6ix9ine has already done and will do moving forward.
And speaking of, not to give more credit to Mr. Carey and help him win this competition, but did you know Tekashi is actually Brock's Japanese name? So great tie-in for that, too.
There we go. Awesome, gentlemen. Great answers. Great answers. Of course, those of you paying attention, we want to know. So we do have a comment over on the Facebook. It says Lil Nas X is pretty good, but he's no Missy Elliott. I don't know there. We got a pretty good call out on that point. But
I'm talking controversy here. Okay.
There you go.
I'm just talking controversy. And you don't get more topical. You don't get more topical with Christian evangelists than Lil Nas X.
So you each get 100 points for each artist you pulled out. So Charles, you're starting with 100 points. Carrie, you got 300 points here. Charles, you're getting 450 bonus points for the Evie call. Go in there again. You get it there. And you get a 50 extra bonus points for causing the controversy and pissing off the, I'll call them Southern conservatives. It's all the same. You know what? So it's a close in the end, but this one belongs to Charles. We're going to give you the last word. That's right. Great job. Great job. So let's pull for 30 seconds, Carrie and myself off the screen and give you the last word.
Ooh, didn't expect I'd get this far, but I represent Vox Pop Games. We are a new platform, and our goal is to promote independent game designers. It's a struggle for indie devs, and we want to do everything we can for them. You can learn more about us at voxpopgames.com. Oh, crap. That was a lot shorter than 30
seconds. That's all right. That's all right. Vox Pop Games, as he mentioned, check it out, voxpopgames.com. Again, thank you all four of you. This was great. This was actually a pretty fast round. I loved y'all's answers.
Nice.
I thought they were fantastic. It was really hard to pick one. Again, Charles, Mark from Vox Pop Games, voxpopgames.com. You can check it out. Carrie, I'm impressed. Yeah, you had people thinking you're a ringer, but pop culture ringer here. You killed it. Leah, as always, a pleasure to hang out. You had a little lack of confidence, but I think next time you'll get it. I see you
fine.
As a finalist.
I just want to say that the fact that nobody mentioned Sigourney Weaver for the Knives Out cast really broke my heart. That's all.
Okay.
Nice.
That's a good one. I say the answers are great. Even the people that weren't able to answer those questions. As always, you can check out The Last Word along with all the other awesome Project Nerd podcasts, audio only, wherever you get podcasts on Apple, Google, Spotify. If you love video or you just like video, head on over to our YouTube or even projectnerd.com. That's project-nerd.com to check out this series as well as plenty of other great series, video series, podcasts, PN Presents, other people's creations as well. We've got it all. We have fun. We create content and we love doing it. But that's it for this episode of The Last Word. Lady and gentlemen, thank you all again so much. We're going to bounce out with some credits as soon as I find them here.